We're going to continue our journey through the Songs of Ascent by looking at Psalms 123 to 125. As I explained last week, I'm going to try something a little different with this series. Despite the challenges of timing last week and some rather derogatory comments, but I've not listened to her for the last 19 years, so I'm not going to start now. I can say that about my daughter. It's her last Sunday with me here, so I can be a little bit rude, can't I? I did ask permission this time. She said, "Why did you ask permission this time? You never ask permission to be rude about me at any other point in your life, so why?" No. So, anyhow, despite the timings of last week, I'm going to give it another go. I recognise that we're again tight on time. How it always happens, I don't know, but we are again slightly tight on time. But what I've decided to try and do this is rather than follow the normal expository style, we're going to do a similar thing to last week, but we're going to just change it a little bit. We're going to have someone read the psalm to us. I thought that was good last week. It was lovely to have different people reading, and that was good. And we're going to this week share in groups. And I know some people are going to find that, "Oh, I don't like sharing groups. Why did I sit next to that person or whatever?" But you can't look at them now and think that. And we're going to share in groups. And I know you find that hard, but sometimes. But I'll talk about that when we get to it, and hopefully it won't be so bad. We're going to stand together again and read the words of Martin's hymn for the psalm, appropriate psalm. We're going to do that after our discussion so that the two aren't together, because I thought that would work better. And I'm going to draw a few points out from the psalm. I was going to say if we keep to time, we should get through all three psalms, but I can't promise that, and looking at time, I doubt it very much that we'll get through all three psalms, but we'll do our best, and I will constrain the group discussion so that will be easier for you, and also it will be shorter so that we can keep to time. But let's just pray. Just pray. Let's not just pray. Let's pray. Father God, we don't want to come to your word casually or unthoughtfully. And as we have to get together in groups, and some of us find talking in groups difficult, we pray particularly that the words that we share won't be just words that we think of, but they will be Spirit-inspired words. And Lord, I pray that my words, too, might be Spirit-inspired, that each one of us would go away from here this morning transformed by the grace of God. So, Holy Spirit, we give you free rein in our hearts and our lives. And we ask that you would transform us now in these moments that we have together. Amen. I've got three lovely ladies, lovely young ladies, coming to read the Bible passages for me. And the first one, where's she gone? Oh, there you are. Okay, Abby, would you come and read for us?
"I lift my eyes to you, for you is the throne of heaven. As the eyes of slaves lift the hand of their master, as the eyes of the maid lift the hand of their mistress, so our eyes lift to the Lord our God, that he shows us his mercy. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant."
Thank you. Having listened to the psalm, we're going to take a moment in groups of three or four where you're sitting, and I'll explain what we're going to do. This first time I'll explain. Won't each time, but this time. I know it can be scary, but I hope it won't be too bad. We're not going to have any feedback, so if you're worried what I say is somebody's going to have to speak up the front, so hopefully that'll take some of the pressure off. I'm not expecting you in your groups to go into any detailed exposition of the psalm to work out what it means or anything like that. So you don't need to be a great biblical scholar to do this. Nor do you have to have the answers right or wrong. What it's simply doing is this. All I'm asking you to do is look at the psalm, reflect on how it speaks to you in your pilgrimage of praise, and share that. It doesn't have to be deep. It can be simple as, I like the repetition of the word eyes in verse 2, and how we look to God, whoever we are. It can be as simple as that. We're going to try and stick to 5 minutes for this, and I'm going to be fairly tight on that. So please ensure that you're brief and try and give everybody the opportunity to speak. So if you'd like to get into your groups now, this always takes the longest. So if you could just do that fairly swiftly, that'd be good. You may need Bibles. Because if you don't have a Bible, you won't know what the word is saying. Let's draw our groups to a close and stand where we are and bring our reflections together by saying the words of the hymn that Martin has written for this psalm, Psalm 123. Stand. We turn our eyes to you, the Lord on heaven's high throne, and ask that you, the God we serve, will make your kindness known. A watchful servant waits for every new command, so we have set our eyes to mark the moving of your hand. Will you not heal the scars of all that we have borne, the chill contempt of arrogance, the searing darts of scorn? We turn our eyes to you, the Lord on heaven's high throne, and ask that you, the God we serve, will make your kindness known. Please be seated. One commentator has summed this psalm up rather nicely with the words, at the end of our tether, there is a place called prayer. At the end of our tether, there's a place called prayer. The Psalms are a beautiful pictures painted with words that convey messages through metaphor and simile, using repetition and other rhetorical devices to remind us of their significance for our situation. In this psalm, we see the repetition of the word eyes to denote desire, the hand to signal action, and in that last part, the word much is repeated 3 times in quick succession, and it indicates that the psalmist has reached the end of his tether. He has had enough of the situation, much, much, much too much of the situation. And then in those times when we've had more than enough, we've reached the end of our tether. We look to God in heaven, our God, to see what action he's going to take, calling on him to have mercy on us. Why does it take us getting to the point of the end of our tether before we call out to God in prayer? It's a rhetorical question. And it's a question that's troubled people throughout the centuries, but it seems to be the way that we wait until we get to the end of our tether before we turn to God. Maybe just too self-reliant, and we haven't learned dependence on God in quite the way a servant looks to their master. And we may like to think that this psalm that has us looking to God, it has some form of resolution in it, that we reach the end of our tether and we cry out to God and God sorts it all out. But that may be optimistic. For in the middle of the psalm there is this little word, till. What that word signals is that God doesn't work to our timescales. God works to his own timescales. He cannot be rushed. And we need to learn patience and persistence. Because we cry out to him until he delivers mercy. And so here in the psalm, where we reach the end of our tether, it's important that we call out to God, but it's equally important that we recognise that God doesn't just jump in there and sort everything out the minute we turn to him in prayer. We need patience and persistence. My next gorgeous young lady could come and read. Do you need to hand up the steps, dear? You knew it couldn't last.
Yeah, I did. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The current torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Thank you, Janet. Okay, we're going to have slightly less than 5 minutes, and I think we're going to have to call it a day after this psalm. So let's have a couple of minutes discussing in our groups how this psalm speaks to us. I'm sorry to do this to you, but let's draw those discussions to a close, and let's stand as we are and bring our reflections together by saying the words of the hymn that Martin's written for us when Andy gets there. And please note, the yellow bit is the title, so we don't need to say that line twice. Unless the Lord had stood with us, let all God's people say, would not the angry storms we face have swept our lives away? Had not the Lord defended us from such a fierce attack, who could have met the dreadful foes or held the onslaught back? But God, our God, has rescued us from their brutality. The fowler's snare is broken now. The captive birds fly free. The maker of the galaxies, the Lord of earth and heaven, has promised all the help we need. All praise to God be given. Please be seated. If we look to sum up this psalm in terms of the New Testament, the verse that we could perhaps choose would be Romans 8 and verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? In essence, this psalm reminds us of God's presence in the middle of a world in which we face many dangers, toils, and snares. The psalm hinges on three times that the Lord is mentioned in verse 1 and 2, verse 6 and verse 8. If God in his grace had not been on our side, then we would have been swept away. It is important to remember that it is all of grace, because God is not on our side because we've done anything to deserve it. It is all of grace. God is on our side because God has shown grace and mercy to us. And then in the verse 6 it says, but praise the Lord, he is more powerful and has protected us and has broken that which has held us captive. It is because of his gracious character, his name, and through his sovereign power as creator that we find help in the midst of mortal dangers that we face. God's gracious presence prompts our pilgrimage and provokes our praise. Well, as I was preparing this, I couldn't be led to John Newton's hymn, Amazing Grace. As he says, as through many dangers and toils and snares, I have already come. And I think of the grace of God in choosing us and bringing us to this. This is a psalm of absolute grace. We're going to have our third reading, and then we're not going to do the groups, and I'm not going to reflect on it. But let's have our third lovely lady, Rebecca from Redcliffe, who's going to come and read to us. Sorry, you'd put it away, hadn't you? And
those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel.
Thank you, Rebecca. Oh, I can't not share something about this psalm. It's a fantastic psalm, of like the third psalm in the triad of love. It's looking to the future. It's the now, not yet. It's the now that the scepter of wickedness is over the land, but the time is coming when that will be got rid of, and all peace will be upon Israel. And there will be peace upon the people of God. Wickedness that seeks to destroy us and deviate us from our plan of righteousness will be got rid of. It will not remain. This is a fantastic picture of what God has planned. We are in the midst of dangers, toils and tribulations, and yet God has given us a hope that is beyond understanding. It is a hope that in the middle of everything, even though everything may be going wrong, we can say, yes, I trust in God, my hope, who sorted it all out, and at the end of time, there will be victory. But now I live in a difficult time. I can set my hope on the future and what Jesus has done. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust... This is a cue for you guys, in case you hadn't realized. Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong in the Saviour's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest in his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne. That song could have been written for these three psalms, talking about the grace, talking about the trials, the grace, and then that final triumph of seeing God and being found in him. We're going to take up our offering of our lives to Jesus Christ in this last hymn. Please use this opportunity to give your lives once again to him and to give your money to him also. Let's stand and sing.